Well, let's pray, shall we? Would one of you guys like to pray for us? Get us started? This is going to be fairly casual if you haven't picked up on that yet. Anyone?
Sure.
Nelson.
Lord, we just want to thank you for this time. Thank you that we can gather as men and listen just to your word and to what you have put on James. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless this time and speak to our hearts in whatever way you want. May we be open to it.
Amen. Amen. So, essentially what I want to do this afternoon is look at three essential elements that I think are really, well, essential. They're critical for us as Christians. I think this is going to be fairly basic, but it's kind of good stuff for us as men to think about. A couple of years ago, you guys had me here, and I got to do the men's session then. And it's like, okay, we're men. What are the things at men's sessions you're always going to talk about? What? Gentlemen, what?
Solomon,
yeah. He had some issues, let's be honest. What kind of stuff will we talk about?
Leadership.
Purity. This is good stuff. I'm trying to figure out what to talk about this week. Somebody write that down for me. That's great. But I don't want to talk about either of those things. I think leadership, it's sort of, you guys, if you don't know that you're leaders in some capacity, I'm not sure what I can do to help. You know, you're leaders of your homes, of your families. You're probably leaders of some capacity in your churches. You're leaders probably in some capacity at your job. And we're men, we're supposed to lead. We get that. The purity thing, guys, let's be pure. Can we? I mean, and let's just be real honest about it. Can we just be super honest? We all struggle with stuff. And if we're talking purity, we're talking sexual issues. We all struggle with stuff. I mean, it's really helpful, I think, to realize that if you think you're the only one struggling with something, you've been lied to. You just stop listening to that. It's like good news and bad news. I get this a lot in my office, you know, at the Bible college. Jeremy, can I... One of the guys, you know, can I talk to you about, yeah, come on in. You know, if it's a Bible question, now I'm super intimidated. I'm like, I don't know. you're the Bible college student, like you're studying. But it's either going to be a Bible question or who am I supposed to marry? Or can you pray for me because I'm struggling with fill-in-the-blank type of sexual sin. So the good news, bad news, and I say this exactly this way to them, good news, bad news here, brother, you're not alone. Other people are dealing with this. It's good news. The bad news is, you're not alone. I mean, this is like the person you're going to go to for help, he is probably either struggling with it also or has struggled with it or has counseled other and. Or he's not immune to it. He's no more immune to it than are you. So, gentlemen, if we can talk about that for purity for a second, just if you need help, please talk to someone. Really, talk to a brother. Talk to someone that you trust. Hopefully, it's someone more mature than you. You know, talk to them. Ask for prayer. Ask for something. But get help. Really. I mean, here we have the Word of God, and we have the body of Christ. We're supposed to help each other. You know, we talked about my leg hurts, but my whole body helps to compensate for the fact that this one part of my body hurts. This is terrible. Like last year, I tore my calf muscle. It's fantastic. You ever tore a muscle, anyone? It was terrible. And then a couple months ago, I tore a blood vessel in the same, like, the right side of my body is just a wreck, you know, you guys can pray for me later. But it's, the whole body compensates for the body. As the body of Christ, help each other out. Help each other out. Or if you think, I've never struggled with that stuff, good luck. You got the pride in you that's saying, that will never happen to me. Good luck with all of that. really. So I don't want to talk about that stuff. We're going to talk about a few other things that I think will be helpful. So here in Romans chapter 13, we'll start in verse 11. Verse 11, let's just read verses 11 down to 14. And do this, Paul says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, not in drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in strife, not in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So a couple of things really simply, just right off the bat, and do this. You got, how many of you guys went to the how to study your Bible thing? A couple of you guys. So then we all know how to study the Bible. Like if you just went to the thing, great. You just mastered that whole art of studying the Bible. And if you didn't go, it's because you already knew. So very good. And do this and do what? Do what? Obviously, context helps. I think verses 8 through 10 deal with debt in the Christian life, owing no man anything except for one thing, love. We owe it to one another to love each other. If we have time to come back and talk about that, we will, but immediate context would be that. At the beginning of the chapter, we have that we're to submit to the governing authorities. That's a wildly entertaining thing to talk about. We're not going to talk about that today, but think about Paul. He's writing this during the reign of Nero. Just sociopathic maniac Nero that killed Christians for entertainment. Yeah, submit to governing authorities. Okay. Could it be at the end of chapter 12 where it's dealing with some of the basic attributes of our Christian character? Could be. I think, though, as you really kind of get back into the context of the thing, chapters 12 through the end of the chapter are dealing with how to conduct ourselves as Christians. Verses 3 through 8 of chapter 12 dealing with using our spiritual gifts. Gentlemen, use them. For pity's sake, please, for the sake of one another, for the sake of the body of Christ, use your gifts. I don't know what my gifts are. Here's a great question. Do you remember Uwe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how can you forget Uwe, right? Uwe is an old friend of ours, Uwe, from Austria. He's like, feels like 2.5 meters tall. It's probably just over 2 meters, but big, big individual, mountain man from Austria, gigantic beard. Like you meet him and you're instantly intimidated. And his years ago, his English was really terrible. So, hello. What are you? What are you? And I don't know. Just take my money. Like, I don't want. Like, okay. Giant. I mean, he's a giant man. So I'm sitting and talking to my friend Uwe. And so, Jeremy, you know, what are your gifts? And I, you know, Uwe, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, have you ever asked? Like, Uwe, you, sir, are a genius. Just, God, what are my gifts? Like, ask the Lord, what are your gifts? What gifts do you have? Use them. Figure it out. But I got to tell you, we're going to see this in the text here today in chapter 13. You're not going to know what your gifts are, nor be able to use them unless you kind of do some of the things that we're about to talk about. But ultimately, I think what Paul is talking about here with the idea, and do this, takes us back to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ultimately, everything that's to be spoken of through the end of Romans stems from this. That we would just abandon all we are for our Lord Jesus. Everything that the world demands of us tries to place upon us that we would say, no. No. So, and do this, knowing the time, he says here in chapter 13, verse 11. Knowing the time. Interesting, there's a couple different words, Greek words for time. The first would be chronos, which is where we get like the word chronological. And that deals with like a calendar kind of a time. But the other word is kairos, and it deals with a quality of time or a type of time. So you can kind of think about it this way. He says, do this knowing the time. The idea, if it were chronos, the word would be, we don't have time to live any other way. But if it were this word here, which it is kairos, it's not the time to be living any other way. It's not, we don't have time for it? No. And kind of as we look at the way the world's going, I mean, gentlemen, look at the way the world's going. You guys read your Bibles? I mean, casually even. You guys read the news. You see we are living at the end of all things. I remember being younger and thinking, man, I'm not really living in that exciting of a time in human history. But then I get saved and realize, wow, the end of history is kind of an important time in history. I mean, that's relatively important. So we don't have the time because of what the time is, but really because of what the time is, there's not much of it. There's just not much time. And so do this, live a life that's abandoned for Jesus, knowing the time that what? That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. So the three things I want to talk about, there's your long introduction for the first part, wake up. I decided to title the message, Good Morning. Tice was like, do you have a title? Like, no. Like, men's session sounds great, but... men's session. So how about thinking, wake up just sounds like rough, you know, and people are going to, the ladies are going to read that. Oh, wake up. This seems, you know, so good morning is a little softer. So, good morning, guys. Wake up. I mean, but the thing is with wake up, no one likes to be woken up. I've got four kids. My youngest is 8 years old. She does not like to be woken up. Do any of you guys? How many of you guys are here at the conference that have a roommate? Is you sharing a room with another guy? Were you thrilled like at 6 o'clock in the morning when they're knocking stuff over and you're like, please, please just be quiet. Nobody wants to be woken up. But here's the thing, what is he dealing with? It's obviously he's dealing with spiritual stuff. Like, guys, we need to be awake. What? Knowing the time? It's high time to awake out of our sleep. And this is interesting because the overall context is simple. Who's Paul writing to? The Romans. Mm-hmm. Which Romans? Christians. He's writing this to Christians and would say, guys, it's high time to awake out of sleep. Why? For now our salvation, verse 11, is nearer than when we first believed. If it was near in Paul's day, I mean, what, minutes away, Paul? Are we looking at the clock almost at midnight? Are we minutes away? And we're seconds away now. It's like the little kid. You ever heard this? I don't know where pastors get these really cheesy analogies, but they work. The little kid, you know, him and his mom in their house, they have this old grandfather clock. Do we have grandfather clocks here? Like those big giant clocks. They chime every hour, and the clock was a little bit old and messed up, and it hit 12 and it chimed 15 times. So the little kid ran to his mom and he's terrified. Like, what's the matter? Mommy, it's later now than it's ever been before. I mean, it's terrible, right? Terrible joke. But the day that we lit, if it was that time then and they needed to be awake, guys, today, we just don't have time, and it's not the time to be sleeping. We don't have time for it. I read an interesting kind of a breakdown on some of this stuff. What we can do while we're asleep. Interesting. You guys, again, if you got roommates or even your wives, you find this out. You can speak while you're asleep. Anyone do that? I don't know. I'm asleep. You've been told, dude, you talk in your sleep. What do you talk about?
Things of the day. Or the past.
Can you take a nap and just let us listen in for a minute? But we can hear while we're asleep. Isn't that interesting? You know, who was talking about this recently? I don't know. Like, with my kids, when they were babies, they wake up. I sleep, you know, we say you sleep like a baby, so you're crying all night, you know. Like, I sleep like a dad. My wife would wake up, you know, the next day. Hi, sweetheart. How'd you sleep? I mean, I slept great. I mean, didn't you sleep great? I was up four times with the baby. You're kidding. I mean, no idea. I just slept. So, but moms are really good. You can hear while you're asleep. We can sing in our sleep. Anyone been around someone that sings in their sleep? I've never heard that, but I've heard that it's... Aaron, do you do that? Okay. Take a nap later. We can think in our sleep. I mean, why do you talk about the day's events? Because our brains are still working in one way or another, but obviously we can walk in our sleep. Anyone do that? You don't? Used to? How did your family feel about that?
Didn't seem bothered.
just don't bother me while you're asleep. And it's like, here's the thing with this. This is from the United States. This is really a foundation. United States National Sleep Foundation. Like, I don't make this stuff up. Sleepwalking. This is their official thing. Sleepwalking usually involves more than just walking during sleep. It is a series of complex behaviors that are carried out while sleeping, the most obvious of which is walking. Symptoms of sleepwalking disorder, or I love that it's a disorder, no offense, please, range from simply sitting up in bed and looking around, to walking around the room or the house, to leaving the house, and even driving long distances. It is a common, they go on to say, it is a common misconception that a sleepwalker should not be awakened. In fact, it can be quite dangerous to not wake a sleepwalker. As you'd imagine, you know, walking. Maybe your family just like barred the kitchen from you. Like, I'm going to make a sandwich and get the knives. But you've been around someone that just wakes up, but they're not awake. My friends, you guys met Phil Metzger last year? His son, and this is terrible, we're recording this, but his son Judah gets like those night terrors. He just wakes up, or doesn't wake up, in the middle of the night, just looks like he's awake. We had him spend the night with our kids one night, and he had this, and just, Judah, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. But like night terrors, it's terrifying for the person that's looking at him, just, I'm fine. Like, you're not, like, okay, I don't want to shake my friend's kid here, but it's a weird thing. So all that to say, interesting, Paul writing to Christians, wake up. Wake up. And as we're going to move through these next couple points really quickly, but I think if we don't get this idea, gentlemen, that we need to be awake, aware, involved with what's going on in our Christian lives and those around us, the other two things, they're not even really possible. They're irrelevant because if we're not awake, we're not really doing anything. Or if, can I say it this way? If we are doing something, maybe we're just sleepwalking. What does that mean spiritually? Is it possible to be a Christian but just kind of go through the motions? Well, because this is what I do because I'm a Christian, right? I mean, I go to church because, after all, I'm supposed to go to church because I'm a Christian. Well, what do you... I go, I'm there, but are you really there? At what point in time does your Christianity just become repetition? And you don't even think about it. It becomes habit. And this is how I am, and I guess I haven't really even thought about my Christianity in some time. He would say, not good morning. Paul's a little bit tougher than me. Wake up. Wake up. And he goes on. He goes on from here. Verse 12, just the first part of it. The second part of it. He says, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. And then in verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only are we to wake up, but I think secondly, we're to dress appropriately. Put on the armor of light. And then he says it even more succinctly here in verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus. What an interesting statement. Interesting statement that he said, put on the Lord Jesus. But this whole idea of the armor of light, obviously if you're taking notes, you'd want to spend some time in Ephesians chapter 6, looking at the full armor of God. Imperative that we understand how that works. Imperative that we understand what that is. But as we're first of all awake and then dressing appropriately, armor, what does armor tell us? What do you put on armor for? We're in a battle. So, okay, I'm awake, but what are you wearing? And you guys ever do paintball? Paintball is kind of fun. You get to shoot your friends. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, like the guys that invented this are geniuses. You're going to pay us money so you can shoot your friends. Brilliant. I mean, just so imagine going to, and you got to wear special gear because you really get beat up. You got to wear a mask and everything. Imagine going to a paintball thing and the guy next to you is wearing his pajamas. Like, we laugh because we should. It's ridiculous. But imagine looking at him like, so you ready to get shot? And he's looking at you like, what? I mean, but this is really comfortable. I'm awake, but I'm not dressed yet. It's not just get dressed. It's to put on the armor. It's not just put on the armor. Put on the armor of light. And it's not just put on the armor of light. It's put on the Lord Jesus. If we're to be awake and active in our Christianity, we need to be dressing appropriately. We need to be putting on things that would make us able to do what we're called to do. I like what Matthew Henry would say about this. He said, a Christian may reckon himself undressed if he be unarmed. If you're not armed for battle, you may as well still be in your pajamas. Well, get up. Well, I'm up. But it's not but, it's get up and get dressed. Dress appropriately. And note this, the armor of light, this is key. So put on the Lord Jesus. Think about, of course, what John would say, Jesus would say it. Jesus, the light of the world. Think about Jesus in Revelation 22:16, calls himself the bright and morning star. Think about Malachi, that would refer to the Jesus, the Messiah, as the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. Or Luke 1:78 refers to Jesus with the words, the day spring from on high, or the sun, the dawn, right? The dawn of a new day, the light of the world. It's interesting because he says it that way in verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting because in Philippians 3, we're to be found in him. You know, as you go through Ephesians, in him, in Christ. Colossians 1, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But here Paul says, it's Christ on us. How are we to dress? If we can just say it this way, if we want to affect our world, people around us need to see Jesus on us, in us. They need to see, or let's just say it this way, not us. They need to see him. So get up. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you're out of bed. I'm glad that you're at least thinking, but get dressed. Dress appropriately. Spurgeon would say it this way, the rags of sin must come off if we are to put on the robe of Christ. So interesting how he puts it that way. So guys, let's get up. Let's get dressed, but dress more specifically appropriately. And then in verse 13, we see really kind of how this all comes together. Our third point, let us walk properly. That's great. You're awake. That's great that you're dressing appropriately. But verse 13, let us walk properly. Does anyone have a different translation for that, for verse 13? Just the first few words there.
Let us walk honestly.
Walk honestly.
Decently.
And how else would we describe that? What are we talking about? To walk.
Behave.
It describes our conduct of life. That's great you're a Christian. That's great you look like one. But can I ask this question? Are you acting like one? I don't want to talk about that. I mean, I'm trying to look the right way, look the part, but am I living it? Wake up. Dress appropriately. Walk properly. And the thing with this is we're finish up here in the next couple of minutes, but there's just certain things that fit our Christianity and certain things that just don't. And I think we could all sit here in our own minds, in our own hearts, in our own conscience and think, yeah, I'm hoping you really don't bring it up, Jeremy, but this one specific thing, I know it doesn't have any place in my life. I just know it doesn't. Well, gentlemen, cut it out. Remove that part from your life. Walk properly. The things that would become a Christian or the things that would be modeling our Lord Jesus, do that. The things that don't. Yeah, I know that I really should be building this other habit into my life. Well, why aren't you? Well, maybe it's step one. You just got to wake up. Got to wake up, and then you got to get dressed. Well, I'm in my PJs. What do we call them in England? Sleeping clothes, right? I'm putting that on the spot. Just go with that. Your sleeping clothes. Pajamas just sounds cute, you know? I got my PJs, my sleeping clothes, yeah. So you're all ready for what? Sleep. You're ready for bed. You're ready to lie down and do nothing, unless you walk around the house or drive a car, but that's another discussion altogether. But no, get dressed. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what he says here, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. When I was a kid, it was me and my two brothers. I'm the middle of three boys. Down the street, there were another two boys, Jason and Shane. That doesn't matter. And then across the street, there was another couple of boys, David and Andy. And so there's like all the boys in our neighborhood, just tons of boys. And of course, you played American football, which is great. But our friends across the street, David and Andy, their family had an olive tree. Like in Southern California, it's the only olive tree that I knew of, you know, but in their front lawn. So sometimes you're playing a little bit rough, tackling each other, come home, olive stains all over your clothes. Mom loved that. I mean, I'm just so thrilled that we went shopping for new clothes, and look at you. Just, she must have loved it. Three boys. My dad's the middle of five boys, so anyhow, so we'd come home. We're boys. You get dirty, you know? You get dirty, and we'd seriously get to the front door. My mom would stop us. No. What do you mean? I want to come inside. No. What? You're not coming in the house dressed like that. I know I'm going to go inside and get changed. No. You're going to take off your clothes. Then you're going to go inside and you're going to get dressed. Well, you're going to take a bath first because look at you. You're filthy. But my mom would seriously make me and my brothers take off our clothes down to our underpants, like at the front door. Like, hoping cars aren't driving by. And just, Mom, and she's like, I don't even care. Because that type of clothing doesn't fit for the inside of the house. That might be okay for out there, but in here, no. We wear clean clothes in this house. And I think you guys get the picture. There are certain things that might be just fine for the world out there, but for us in the house of God, there's other things that just don't fit. Gentlemen, as we're waking up, as we're dressing appropriately, let's walk. Let's do this. Let's walk properly. Those things that don't fit your Christianity, get rid of them. What I'm trying. Keep trying. Stay in the Word. Stay connected to the living God through prayer, through walking in the Spirit. This is amazing from Galatians chapter 5. Walk in the Spirit and what? You shall not gratify, you shall not fulfill the desires, the lusts of the flesh. See, our problem is this. If you guys are anything like me, and if you are, I'm really sorry, genuinely. Because I usually think this way. Well, I really want to walk in the Spirit, so therefore I need to stop walking in the flesh. I need to stop fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. So if I can stop fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, then I'll be able to walk in the Spirit. You guys ever think that way? Mm-hmm. It's just the sins that are so easily besetting me. I got to stop this and then I'll be able to do the right things. The only problem is it's unbiblical. Because the way Paul says it there in Galatians 5 is, no, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Like, it's really that simple. Like, could it be that? Yeah, it really could be that simple. So if we just do the right things, we're going to watch those other things just kind of, oh, there's still that sinful nature in us. Sin doesn't, you know, ever leave you alone, except for our salvation is nearer than we first believe. When we get to heaven, sin will leave us alone in heaven, and aren't you glad? And one of the greatest things for me about heaven, not only meeting Jesus, which is like good enough, I think, but personally, that's probably good enough. But here's a word that exists not in eternity. Temptation. Oh, it's like, can we just go now to be removed from temptation? Well, it's near, but we're not there yet. And if I want to deal with those things, what do I need to do? Well, deal with them. Yeah, kind of, but how do I deal with them? Let's just walk in the Spirit. Let's just do the right things. Let's put on the right clothing and let's walk properly. And look what he says, because as he really starts to make this whole thing clear in verse 13, he actually becomes specific, but he's vague enough. Let us walk properly as in, of course, here it is, the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. These are interesting. It's because it's three simple groups of two. The first group, revelry and drunkenness, would be kind of the people that are disturbers of the peace. You know, I know some of you guys, your testimony would involve you were disturbers of the peace. You know, let's put it on somebody else. It's that neighbor that you, it's not you, it was never you. It's that neighbor you have. They like to party Friday night, Saturday night, Thursday night, Sunday night, and they're loud. And they're going crazy. And it's like, can you not? Because it's real, please. Because I don't really want to call the police, but I'm trying to sleep. Can you just stop? There's that kind of revelry and drunkenness. Well, think about it. Think about doors opening, scary stuff. Think about, again, who's Paul writing to? Christians. Hey, and he has to... I'm really terrified right now. Like, I can't see what you guys see. Like, is everything okay? He's writing to Christians, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness. Gentlemen, again, there's stuff that for the world, yeah, that kind of revelry, drunkenness, disturbers of the people, that's what the world does. But Christians, gentlemen, here today, I hope that doesn't describe any of us. That's not walking properly. The next two, he goes on, lewdness and lust. These are dealing with sexual immorality in just about any area. It's dealing with the idea behind these words is people that are incapable of feeling shame and those literally that are desiring a forbidden bed. Desiring a forbidden bed. That's not for you, but I desire it. Christians, no, let's walk properly. Not that way, because does that sound anything like, and here's where it gets really obvious really fast, and we feel uncomfortable saying it. Does lewdness and lust in any way describe our Lord Jesus? And we think, oh, of course, why would you even put that in the same sentence? That's why we're to, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the final two here in verse 13, not in strife and envy. Strife and envy, the idea behind these is someone that's jealous over somebody else's position or someone that's jealous that someone else received something that they didn't receive. What's fascinating to me about this couple of things here in verse 13, these three different groupings, strife and envy, I'm going to suggest this to you guys. They're actually worse than revelry and drunkenness, and they're worse than lewdness and lust. We probably think they're not that bad. I mean, jealousy or something, it's not that bad. But you know what that describes? Strife and envy? Satan. Satan, the ultimate self-centered one. Satan, whose motive has always been Me, 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 I shall, I shall, I shall, I shall ascend above the Most High. It's always about me. Christians, we're to walk properly, not in strife and envy. We're not to act like our enemy. No, we're to put on armor that we might do battle with him and the things of him. And then he finishes out, so put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And I love that too, because what a big, broad statement that is. No provision for the flesh. Okay, well, what? Anything. Well, but what about the flesh? Oh, you know, the carnal part of your flesh? The sinful part of your flesh? Like all of that part? Yeah, make no provision for it whatsoever. Don't give room for it. Don't help it out. You know, it's like, what do we have working against us? The world, the flesh, and the devil. It's like the world, all the temptations, it's terrible. The devil, he's terrible. But you know what I have? You know what I brought with me to this conference this week? Unfortunately for you, unfortunately for me, I brought me. I mean, everything I do is tainted by me. We have students that, Jeremy, can I, and sometimes they really want to talk about stuff. And there's times where I actually have to apologize to the students because you know what? I'm doing the best I can, but the best I can is tainted by me. Make no provision for the flesh. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. Like, I'm bad enough on my own that the world and the devil is just adding to it. It's interesting. Just again, your funny, cheesy story that just wrap it up with this. Genuinely wrap it up with this. Woman, older woman, lost her husband. They had been married for 50 years. Husband died, and she just felt really lonely. You know, it was kind of a sad thing. She didn't really have much for friends or neighbors and felt lonely. So thought, you know what I should do just to have something else, something else in the house. I'm going to go to the pet store. I'm going to get a pet and see if that'll just cheer me up a little bit. Maybe that'll help. So this is not a true story. So you guys are like, this is terrible. So she goes to the, because actually it gets worse, but she goes to the pet store, talks to the guy. So lost my husband. It's quiet in the house. I feel alone. What do you suggest? Parrot. You need a parrot. I've got just the bird for you. This animal just talks and talks and talks and talks. Parrot. It's perfect. Okay. I mean, you're the expert. I'll take it. So she buys the parrot and she buys a cage. She goes home. Parrot's in the cage, sitting there. Silence. Whole day goes by. She's talking to the bird. Nothing. I mean, knocking on the cage, or just tapping on it. Just the bird just staring at her. I mean, nothing. The next day, nothing. So she finally goes back to the pet store. So, hey, you bought the parrot. How's the parrot? Is it even really a parrot? It's nothing. It's talking, right? It's nothing. Total silence. Okay. You know what? You know what you need? You need a mirror in there because parrots like to feel like they're not alone either. If there's a mirror, the parrot's going to, it'll just talk to the mirror. Talk, 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 talk. Let's sell you a mirror. Okay. Sounds great. You're the expert. Buys the mirror, puts it in the cage. Day goes by. Silence. I mean nothing. Not even like ruffling the feather. Nothing. Whole week goes by. She goes back to the pet store. So what do you think? Is seriously nothing? Nothing. You need a bell, right? And you guys have birds. Like a bell. It'll enjoy that. And it'll start to talk when it hears the noise. Like perfect. Buys the bell. Puts it in the cage. Goes home. Nothing. Total silence. Finally, another week goes by and the bird dies. Like, Jeremy, thank you for the story. Let's close in prayer. No, that's not it. So the bird dies. She goes back to the pet store. Hey, how's the parrot? How's it going? It's great, right? Just talk, talk. The bird's dead. What happened? I mean, did it tell you anything? It didn't say anything for the full, 2.5 weeks. Nothing. It didn't say anything. Well, it did say one thing right before it died. It said, don't they have any pet food at the pet store. This is terrible. Terrible joke. Like, I feel really ashamed that I said it. But our problem, and I'm going to say it this way, our problem as guys, there's so much stuff to distract us from the main thing. The main thing, guys, let's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, let's wake up. Let's dress appropriately. Let's walk properly. Let's put on Jesus. Let's act the way we're supposed to act. We are Christians, so be what you are. Act like Jesus to the people around you that need so desperately to see him. Or can I say it this way? Or don't. Or just sleepwalk at best. And be so distracted. We're so good as guys with being distracted by so many things. Oh, this will be great. And if I have this, this will be great. And this and this and this. And pretty soon, what have I neglected? The living word of God and the living word of God. Let's not neglect the most important part of our Christianity, being Jesus Christ. So let's wake up, guys. If there's things in your life that you know just don't belong, that stuff should not be a part of my Christianity, cut it out. If you need help, please talk to someone. And don't feel, because the enemy's going to tell you, don't talk to anybody. Don't ever say anything, because you're the only one like this. No one's going to understand. People are going to look at you and they're never going to want to talk to you because that's disgusting and you should be ashamed. You should just stop listening to him. Stay in this book. Let's walk in the Spirit, and we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for what it is, for what it does. Thank you, as we even looked at the beginning there of chapter 12, for the renewing you want to do, that transforming work, the renewing of our mind. Oh, Lord, we do want to submit ourselves to you, surrender ourselves to you. Things in our life that have no business being in our life, Lord, we want to commit that to you as well. And we would probably feel ashamed to even bring it up, but we can't hide it from you, Lord. You already see it. You're just there waiting for us to talk to you about it. So, Lord, for these men in the different communities, cities, countries that they represent, would they be the men that you called them to be? Would they not sleepwalk through their Christianity? But may they go after the things of you. Lord, we would also humbly, because we know we're desperate, we know that on our own, we need a Savior. But boldly, because you want to give, we would humbly and boldly ask that you'd fill us, please, with your Holy Spirit. Because we're so ashamed and yet happy to admit we cannot do this on our own. And we've tried and we fail. So Jesus, would you fill us with your Spirit? Empower us to be what you want us to be. Empower us to be what we are. Father, we are your sons. Help us to act that way. Bless these men. Use them for great things. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys. Thanks for the time.